of this meeting.
Thanks, John. I think that we'll just move right into the open forum then as a wrap up to public testimony and public input for the day.
Again, thank you, Mr. Chair. John Cotillion, staff attorney for Gunderson Parks. The next portion of our meeting is called the open hearing, or open forum, excuse me. Open forum is dealing with any topics that aren't listed as finalizations. So just a reminder, I do have some people signed up, but if you've already spoken in relation to the topic that is a finalization, I ask that you not repeat yourself and that you only bring new comments as it relates to the GSMP department. First individual I have listed again is Ms. Julie Anderson, so you guys get to go back and back if you're back to back if you're available.
I'm done.
All right, thank you, Ms. Anderson. The next person I have is Ms. Nancy Hilding. Do you have anything additional you wish to discuss that you have not already discussed? Again, reminder, 3 minutes is your time limit for the open forum. Thank you.
Nancy Hilding, President of Prairie Hill Thought on this side. I'm going to start to talk about fever. If I have time, I'll go on to other stuff. At the last commission meeting, there's a recording which lasts for 1852 minutes on the discussion about the fever finalization. At 4 minutes and 29 seconds, Travis B. Blessed Heart suggested that there be a moratorium on beaver trapping in the Black Hills. And for the next 14 minutes and 52 seconds, there was a discussion about a moratorium on the Black Hills. And it went back from the commissioners supporting Travis and suggesting they amend it right then, to suggesting that they make an amendment and a proposal in September. Commission meeting now to amend the rule that was passed, which was to extend trapping and hunting a beaver for 365 days each over each 6 months. But he wanted that amended to stop beaver trapping in the Black Hills. So three commissioners of five suggested they supported him. It went back and forth from there being a rule made that day, a rule made in September. A report made in September, Commissioner Lawton wanted some middle ground, and at the very end, I will read the last two statements that were made, are staff. We will have a conversation presentation at the September meeting. We will be on that right away. We'll get Commissioner Beast involved before the meeting, mumble something I didn't understand. Thank the commission. Okay, then Lawton brings up his concerns about not locking down the whole in moratorium for the whole entire Black Hills and state. Just wondering if some middle ground on this. Then staff replied wrote the time at 8 minutes and 25 seconds, lasting till 18 minutes 52. You have some different questions you can have staff work on. Yes, Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lawton, we will put together a work group here and get back to the commission body. We will have a phone call and have further discussion and formulate recommendations and other ideas pertaining to the one you just threw out there, Mr. Locke, and as well. So good conversation, appreciate. Yes, we will continue working on this, so thank you. Okay,
in the 30 seconds remaining.
In a minute, there is nothing at all to reflect that you spent about 15 minutes talking about Travis Beast's professor and more from the classes. Nothing in the minute. And also when I testify, I always testify you have to consider all these different options, and that wasn't in my minutes of my discussion. But there is nothing on the agenda at all today or tomorrow to talk about either. So you have this huge, long discussion that escapes the minutes, and there's nothing on the agenda for a report from staff on what is being done to figure out whether to have a moratorium, like Travis Beast wants, or Lawton wants it, ACDC kind of thing, some areas closed, some open.
Please wrap up your testimony.
So at any rate, I am protesting transparency here. That the whole discussion about the moratorium on beavers got wiped from the minutes, and there's nothing on the agenda today about a report and follow-up on this issue, which we care very much about. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gilbert. The next person I have listed to speak in the open forum is Aaron Thompson from Spearfish, South Dakota. All right, sir, you have 3 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Rowland, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Aaron Thompson. I'm a landowner and rancher operating my family's place west of Spearfish. Additionally, I'm president of the Spearfish Livestock Association, and I'm here today representing them as well. Since we embarked on the journey of an elk management plan and the association hits the tags, 7 years have went by, and there's some new faces here, so I'm going to give a little bit more background, but I might otherwise. I was a member of the original elk stakeholder group and staff with providing feedback to the department on the draft elk management plan, representing the Spearfish Livestock Association and the DOC. Spearfish Livestock Association is an organization whose members are all grazing committees on the Black Hills National Forest, most of whom run cattle in the Northern Hills. I was joined by Eric Jennings, representing the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association, Casey Miller, representing the South Dakota Stockbrokers Association, the three of us collectively representing the ranching industry and landowners from the Northern Black Hills. The three of us were largely responsible for the inclusion of what came to be known as the drought contingency license to be issued in the event of drought on the Black Hills National Forest. Throughout the discussion on the plan, it was always our goal to persuade the department and the commission to begin to manage elk and other wildlife as well on the forest based on science and data rather than public opinion, to managing based on carrying capacity and what the landscape can sustainably support. Our intent was never to simply beat down elk numbers for no good reason. There were an awful lot of car rides home, but the discussion revolved around how we can make our point without coming off to the commission, to the department, and to the sports in South Dakota as being anti-elk. And maybe we never found a good answer to that. But that's why it's beyond itself in front of the department's current recommendations on contingency tags. We issued 20 tags to be sprinkled across half a dozen units. After speaking with Forest Service range staff of the Northern Hills Ranger District, it appears the committee in the Northern Black Hills will be taking a 10% reduction in their grazing numbers for the season. But that is on the low end of the range contest. I personally took a 15% cut at the start of the grazing season by delaying turn-on by 2 weeks. Our two big allotments, the smaller allotments that we operate that has chronic problems on dry years, we like to take non-use. One of my guys took a 25% less cattle in the fall and water by mid-July. The point is, as confirmed by the Forest Service, the 10% reduction in grazing in the North Black Hills is on the far end of conservative estimates. When asked about the forest as a whole, it was suggested a 5% reduction in overall grazing would be accurate, yet still on the conservative end of the spectrum. So on one hand, you have the ranching industry that has their livelihood at stake in the matter, taking a forest-wide 5% reduction in our numbers. On the other hand, is the department suggesting that 20 additional tags scattered across the forest is adequate to mitigate overgrazing. These reductions in these numbers are not commensurate. Given the department's population target of 7,500 elk and assuming an 80% hunter success rate, nearly 470 drought contingency tags would need to be issued in order for the reduction in elk numbers to be congruent with the reduction in grazing livestock.
We have 1 minute remaining.
I would ask that, considering the considerable time I spent and donated to the commission and the department working on elk stakeholders, that I'd be allowed to finish my comments. If that please, Mr. Chairman, I would be very grateful. Thank you. The suggestion of 20 additional tags being issued amounts to a 0.276 reduction in grazing back by elk. I know that everyone can feel me really gearing up to let the department have it here. I want you to know that I'm going to stop short of accusing the department of an outright mathematics gymnastics or blatantly engineering data on this. What I would put forth as a hypothesis to explain this discrepancy would be to suggest that the department, through an avalanche of cognitive bias, groupthink, institutionalism, political pressure, peer pressure, and outright concern for their jobs, continues to put forth these numbers that differ by light years from the agricultural industry's response to a drought. and actually believe that their analysis is reasonable and makes sense. Unfortunately, the reality is the department has been trying to castrate the drought contingency tag since they were first introduced, as evidenced by their actions. The night before the original elk management plan was to be adopted by the commission, the department met behind closed doors without knowledge of the stakeholder group and placed a cap on the number of contingency tags to be issued at 15% of total cow numbers in a given unit. Now, 7 years later, the department is suggesting considerations should be made for whether population targets for any given unit are stated as increase, decrease, maintain, again, thereby giving the department an out when drought and data start suggesting that they need to do something they don't want to do. This amendment to the plan should be scrapped. I doubt that it will. I have no intention of yelling into the hurricane for much longer, but this amendment is another example of an attempt by the department to engineer a back door into the management plan so they can continue to manage the Black Hills elk herd based off of public opinion rather than science. I have no doubt that at this point, a number of department staff would love to jump up by beating me and also point out the number of ways my numbers are wrong, that my argument is flawed, or that I'm mischaracterizing the actions of the department. I'll not be entertaining such arguments. The blinding disparity between the livestock industry's response to this drought and the department's response to this drought cannot be explained away by quibbling over details, pointing out the NRCS forage availability calculations, or any other manner of scoring. The discrepancy in response between livestock's 5% reduction and the department's suggested herd reduction of 0.267 is too great for this to be explained by flawed data in this calculation. Ranchers typically have more to do than they can get done in any given day, and as such are constantly having to prioritize where they place their efforts. Two of the three people representing agriculture on the original elk stakeholder group that were instrumental in originating the idea of drought contingency tags are here today. I messaged one of the individuals regarding today's meeting and was informed that he had the county drill rented to do some planting and that he was going to stay home and get some stuff done. So if you think my criticism is extreme, imagine if the guys that didn't want to show up today were upset. I wish I had a tidy closing for this other than the sign off abruptly leaving a lingering cloud of desperation in the air. I would like the department staff to know that while this criticism has indeed been scathing, I bear nobody on the staff or the commission any ill will. I've come to know and respect many of the people in this room, and have even caught myself white on some of them on occasion. But I can't pretend the department's suggestion of 20 contingency tags is anything other than insulting and disrespectful. Thank you. I'll happily stay on for questions, comments, or
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. The next individual I have listed for to speak during the open forum is Kathleen Schmidt. Could you please again state your name and your city of residence for the record, please?
Kathleen Schmidt, Nemo, South Dakota.
Welcome.
Hi. I am speaking today about the appallingly ill-conceived nest predator bounty program that is promoting the slaughter and killing of defenseless animals. It's barbaric and inhumane to leave these animals in traps for 3 days, as well as the suffering their young endure when left behind after their mother is killed. This is animal cruelty, and you know it. It is brutal, sadistic, and uncalled for to kill nearly 50,000 raccoons, 7,000 striped skunks, 438 red foxes, 417 badgers, and nearly 5,000 opossums this year alone. This commission isn't managing wildlife, but spending $500,000 of taxpayer money to, quote, promote families being outdoors and getting involved in wildlife management, unquote. Wildlife management, give me a break. What kind of message are you sending to our children to trap an innocent animal and leave it there until it dies in the heat? You should be teaching children about caring for animals, not killing them. Your Ethics SD program to learn trapping skills should be eliminated altogether. Trapping is primitive and should be outlawed in every single state in this country. You are upsetting the ecosystem by trapping and killing these predators and allowing the rodent population to explode. We have never had so many snakes, voles, and pocket gophers on our 15-acre property in Van Acker Canyon. Every animal has a unique purpose in this world, and you, sitting on the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission, should know that. Animals cannot speak for themselves, and they need to be respected and cared for, not slaughtered. Isn't there enough violence in our world already? Not to mention all the number of animals that have been killed and displaced by all the fires burning in the West. This board should represent all people, and our comments should be taken seriously when you make your decisions behind closed doors. Why do you ask for public input when you have no interest in listening to it? If you cannot think of a better way to get families outdoors, we are in big trouble. I urge you to put an end to this expensive and needless program that was all started to increase the pheasant population, a non-native bird species for mostly out-of-state hunters. In fact, you really need to review your mountain lion folders, as well as all the other animals on your kill list. You know that the mountain lion population is declining, and it has never stopped you from selling licenses to trophy hunters. Having seasons on turkeys, mink, weasels, beavers, bobcats, marmots, sandhill cranes, partridges, quails, mourning doves, and even the tundra swan. How many creatures are you trying to eliminate anyway? These animals should be allowed to live peacefully without being blown up by irresponsible hunters using them for target practice with their AR-15s. This was an ill-thought-out, cruel, inhumane, barbaric, and absolutely shameful program from the beginning that should end now. Have some compassion and stop the Nest Predator Bounty Program and start promoting education as well as biological diversity and habitat preservation so people start respecting wildlife and quit killing everything that moves. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. That is all the people that I had listed signed up for the open forum. Is there anyone that hasn't spoken already that wishes to speak during the open forum?
Thanks, John, for handling that. And because I allowed Mr. Thompson a few extra minutes, if anyone's here today and would like to add 2 minutes to your public testimony, feel free to do so at this time, but I'm only going to allow 2 minutes.
Just to go on about the transparency issue, in that state staff has on every single finalization to be placed put where state staff wants to make changes to the rule proposal. That rule proposal that you sent forward, a synopsis of it was written by Yankee and Park, but you are required by statute to make available to the public where they can read the rules. And at every single public notice, there's a URL in there about how to go to the LRC's webpage to see the exact text of the rule. So in essence, you're public noticing the exact text of the rule. Okay, the only way you can make substantive changes to that rule that was posted was the result of public testimony at the hearing. The staff is coming in and on every single finalization making changes to the proposal that's posted on the LRC website as the rule proposal that is not being made at the hearing, and it's institutionalized into every single finalization. So you allow the staff to make changes to the posted rule on the LRC website as a matter of form, and then you whip about transparency, you know, or the staff complains about transparency if the public comes in and makes a requested change. But you allow staff to come and make changes as a matter of form, because on every single finalization sheet, the option for the staff to suggest a change to the rule proposal that's on the LRC website. So what I'm saying is this is the processes. The staff can make changes to the rule, and that's considered transparent. But if the public looks at something and that is seized, or where the other one likes what the public says and wants to make that recommendation, wants to change the rule, the staff will say it's all not transparent and it wasn't public notice. I'm saying you are required by statute to put the exact text of the rule proposal up on the LRC website. And you allow the staff to change them. So at any rate, thank you.
I think we'll take a 10-minute recess here and come back at what you're going to...
Can I get a minute, Russ?
Yep. I said that I would give a couple more minutes to people that make the time to come in today.
Brad Fizzo, South Dakota Houndsman Association again. I know that it's been brought up that the staff has changed and did kind of a wording clarification into the proposal. And, you know, after reading it, I absolutely agree that the way the staff has rewrote this and cleared the ruling up and the rules up, I think it is the right thing to do. You know, I teach on safe school here at the Black Hills Outdoor Campus with these kids. And, you know, as we go through and we're trying to teach this, there are a lot of rules. And if we can change some of the ruling and some of the wording in it to make it just so much easier, it is really a big deal. You know, a founding father of the outdoors, Leopold, said, you know, ethics is what you do doing the right thing when nobody's watching. And I think this absolutely comes right into the play with that. Is this is doing the right thing, whether someone's watching or not. You clear up the way the ruling is written, and we are absolutely happy with what it is there, and we believe that's the right way to do it. So thank you for your time, and thank you again for everything we've worked together with.
Thank you. We'll take a short break till 5:30.